You know, Keith, over the years that we've sat here at this microphone, we get the opportunity to talk to people all over, whether it be somebody in Congress or a senator or somebody like Helen at Focus on the Family.
Right.
But at the top is FRC, I tell you, Family Research Council.
Oh, yeah.
But I got a little story to tell you because J.C. Church just reminded me of this.
Oh, he did?
This is great.
All right,
he's got a he's got a nice jacket on. Real nice jacket and an American flag.
He's got a Nebraska jacket on?
No, I said a real nice one.
Oh.
That's the difference. tell him what your T-shirt says.
Pro Bass Shop.
Okay, there you go.
What?
Ready? Yeah.
Pro Bass Shop.
All right.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you what let me tell you what this reminded me of. Years and years ago, I'm driving to Midway Airport to a very, very important meeting. My tie, my white shirt, my cup of coffee.
Uh-oh.
And as I'm going through the traffic to Midway, if you've ever had this happen, folks, that coffee cup just crushed.
Oh.
Woo! That coffee's hot.
Yes, it is.
And it was a 6 o'clock morning flight, nothing open but a little gift store. And I walked in, and I got a T-shirt just about like that, and it was the outline of the city of Chicago. And I walked into my meeting just like he's walking in here today, and the guy said, hey, nice shirt. I said, yeah. It was a lot nicer 2 hours ago before the coffee hit it.
Yeah.
So when you walked in, I said, I now know how nice I look because he looks good.
There you go.
Good morning.
Oh, that's good.
How are you, JC?
I'm good, Charlie.
Where's home for you?
Galleon, Ohio, which is about an hour north of Columbus, Ohio.
Well, thank you. That was Cincinnati after they took 4 from the Cardinals. We don't want to deal with that.
You don't want to talk about that.
No. No. Tim Throckmorton.
Yes, sir.
That sounds like a good restaurant, Keith.
Tim Throckmorton? No, it sounds like a character in a romance novel or something. Tim, or a Western.
It was
Tim,
a radio character years ago.
Tim Throckmorton. Came out into the street.
Good morning. Good to be here, Charlie.
Where are you from?
Yeah. Ohio, Southern Ohio.
Both of you guys from Ohio?
Yes, sir.
Cincinnati?
Yeah. In the Portsmouth area.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, for the first time since 1964, something the Reds took 4 from the March shot would have been very, very happy.
Yes.
So let's go back because we want to dive into some topics because I'm going to go back and tell you what happened to me in the first half hour today. And Keith was so gracious to make me feel good that I'm going to throw this out to you all, and then I'll let one of you say, I'll take that. Okay,
all right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, play that.
And we've asked, I've called out to Family Research Council, and they're not recording any of this morning, so anything that we say will not be replayed.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just talked to him yesterday. I'll give you a name that I want you to continue to think about. But you can see I've got it right on my notes. I wrote down Pride Month. And I didn't know how to handle this because I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring it up last week with Keith because we weren't here last week.
Because we weren't here last week.
That's, and this is only our second day. Yeah. And I'm looking on my headlines in the morning because I've almost refused to watch news. I mean, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox. But I get my headlines and I watch and I read and I try to make some informed decisions. But boy, right in the middle of that was Walmart's Pride Month. I said, you got to be kidding. Then I clicked on it because there was an ad. And so now I'm really inside. It's personal, and I'm just inside agitated. Oh, my goodness, what are we doing? And then a good friend of our family said, what are you talking about? It's everywhere, as I told Keith earlier. So how do we, as we look at a biblical worldview, mm-hmm. as born-again Christians, where Christ loved them all, mm-hmm. walked with sinners, talked to sinners, dealt with sinners, and I'm not saying, folks, because I said Pride Month, we're all sinners. Let's get that. So don't throw stones at the... radio, please. How do we address this, gentlemen, in the society we're walking through? Who wants to take
I'll jump on it, yeah. It's a big subject, Charlie, and Keith, as we know. And there's a lot of pressure going on in our culture. I think what we've got to look at, is, to your point just briefly, a biblical worldview. We're living in a time that only 6% of Americans right now possess a biblical worldview. And that's according to George Barna. So...
That number has changed significantly in the last couple of years.
Well, it's dropping, absolutely. Yeah. So the reason that's important, I think a worldview to the listening audience, whatever your worldview is, it really boils down to this. A worldview means how you interpret the world, the characters that are on the stage in the world, how you interpret the world, number one. Number two, how you interact with that world. Now, if we're going to talk about the pressure that's coming with the issues of Pride Month and LGBTQ and their initiatives, for those of us who really believe that the Word of God is the standard, we have to ask ourselves, does sin exist anymore? It's almost popular to talk about shortcomings, but does sin exist anymore? It seems as though everything offends everybody but sin. Lying, cheating, murder, men with men, women with women, according to the Word of God, that is sin. Now, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we have to walk in love, but we have to love people enough to accept them where they are, but also speak truth to them, because really, Charlie, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We're not going to be here forever. And it is not popular if we're going to anchor ourselves in a biblical world view and say that these lifestyles, men with men doing that which is unseemly, is not the divine design that God has for humanity. But there's an enormous amount of pressure for corporations and others to capitulate. And it seems as though, Keith, as to your point a minute ago, that number is dropping painfully so. So for those of us who are going to stand with compassion and convictions.
You're a bigot and a homophobe.
Absolutely.
And you're narrow and you have no, in fact.
Yep.
Judging somebody.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when we hear that, so when we hear that, rather than saying, yeah, you're right. No.
Well.
How do we
here's a way to, I think, to address it. All the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah from the beginning of time, we have admitted that there were homosexuals, lesbians. Okay, we have admitted it. We've acknowledged it. We've accepted it. But the difference today, the shift, is a demanding of an affirmation, even if it violates your own religious convictions.
Great word for us, okay. Keith.
Affirmation. And how do we not affirm but still not be the bony finger, as he says?
Well, at some point you have to, in love, speak the truth in love. And that's what we have to do. I often will tell people, maybe someone has an inferiority complex or a superiority complex. Meaning, I'm so comfortable in my skin. I am a white, been white all my life, evangelical Christian. I don't need your applause, your affirmation. I'm comfortable in my skin. If for some reason I demand you accept me and affirm me to validate myself, my identity is established in who I am. Mm-hmm. So if you're demanding me to violate my conscience and convictions, there may be something deeper going on down inside. And I think if we walk in love, that we know that ultimately there's a cross-shaped void in everyone's heart, mm-hmm. everyone's life. It is not the divine design. And if we keep walking in love and speak the truth in love, knowing that we may be attacked, to your point, we have to continue to do so. At some point, we have to stand in love, and now, speak the truth in love.
Now, here's what's important. We've said it all along, and I think probably, Tim, you can address this also. When we give a testimony, he's still blind. I wish he could see, but he can't. But what did the blind man say? Who healed you? I don't know who healed me. What do I know? Once I was blind, but now I can see. That's happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if we continue to use our personal testimony, you can attack me all you want, as you said.
Yep.
But wait a minute. You can't take away what happened to me.
That's exactly right.
Well, JC alluded to the 6% in America. We have a culture where there is biblical illiteracy, there's historical illiteracy, there's civic illiteracy. People don't know the Bible. They don't know our history as a nation. They don't know how government works. So you can say anything about anything, and folks will believe it for the most part. And what is called for is an understanding of a biblical worldview, having a biblical worldview. Because when you do, and this all we've discussed so far happens, then you have not only the courage, but you also have the understanding to winsomely articulate God's love to somebody. You're not throwing your Bible at them. You're not screaming. You're simply loving them, sharing your testimony, but having enough of a biblical worldview that you can explain what the Scripture says about particular issues regardless. And that's really where the Family Research Council shines, bringing a biblical worldview perspective to every cultural issue.
So are we wrong with, don't argue with me. Don't argue with me. This is what the Lord said. If you don't want to believe it, see, I wrote something. I've got some grandkids out at Camp Kanakuk, and I'm praying for them because they're teenagers and they're ready to go on their own. My granddaughter just got back from Washington, D.C., where we just kept talking about all the Christian things she saw and what they said. But at what point when it's ours? So you give it to God, okay? But at the same time, trying to bring it down to where it's in a loving manner, like we're talking about, without. I don't want to say being offensive because I don't think that's help me here.
Well, I think responding, but the scripture says this, we're to contend for the faith. Now, I often say we're to contend for the faith, but we don't need to be contentious, mean, angry, rude, and nasty.
Perfect.
We must be courageous, we must have compassion, and we must have convictions. And again, if those who choose to live a lifestyle that we believe because of our biblical worldview violates the standard of God, they should be so comfortable in that that you don't need my applause or my opinion because you're so comfortable in your own identity. So for us, it's one thing to read a word. It's another thing to take heed to the word. Mm. And so that's who we are, and that's our position. So we just have to keep walking in love, I think, Charlie, and speak the truth.
All right. Now, as we walk through this society, I did something I don't think I've ever done in the 22 years on the program. I reached out to a Democrat yesterday, and I went, as a Democrat, that's not a dirty word. I'm just saying that when you look at their platform, it's so hard to because of their platform. Different individuals, we know there's pro-life Democrats. We hope they stand up in the House and the Senate. We don't hear from them much because they get shut down with the Schumers and Pelosi's and the AOC's. Mm-hmm. You don't hear their voices, but they're there. But Joe Manchin has stood up as a Democrat out of West Virginia. And I sent him an email yesterday from Good Morning Ozarks, our program I'm sure he'd want to be on, versus Fox and Friends. And so as we look at the Democratic administration in Washington, D.C., it doesn't seem like many things I hear coming out of that administration have a biblical worldview.
No,
because they
right.
don't. They do not. Let's look at the Republican platform versus the Democratic platform. I mean, we know they, in essence, have voted God out of their platform. I believe the word God appears once in their entire platform.
Well,
document.
But wait a minute. We just had National Day of Prayer.
He didn't
mention
he
God
didn't
either.
Mention.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He kind of forgot something this week as well, didn't he?
Normandy.
Normandy. And how about D-Day?
Yeah, he kind of forgot D-Day. Yeah.
And Normandy, June 6, 1944. And I had forgot it too until a friend sent it to me. We did a piece on it yesterday morning. And I tell you what, my wife and I were talking about last night. Can you imagine those men on that boat that knew just as soon as that ramp on that boat goes down, boys? Those guys are going to mow us down.
Absolutely. I believe it was like 90% of them as the ramp went down, 90% of them as they hit the beach were killed. And what a slap in the face to the patriots, the veterans, and those family members by our president to ignore this.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. This is much fun. Can you stay with us till Thursday? This is so good. Okay.
It's 8:14 on Good Morning Ozarks. We're talking to JC and Tim from Family Research Council. We'll be back in just a moment. You stay with us. Yeah. Well, I noticed you guys are talking. I don't want to interrupt you with a radio program.
we got to get back
Spot
to the
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
You got to understand, son. Keith's been to radio school.
Oh.
He's a professional.
He's a professional.
Oh, yeah, they've been paid to do that. Hey, I was just saying the Pride Movement seemed to have hijacked the rainbow, but it just hit me. When I see that rainbow, I've got to pick the word pride for a minute. I've got to
remember God's promise. God,
that's exactly right. Yeah. I got to look at the rainbow in God's way. Hey, if you want to hear more from these guys today at 12 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church, which is located on Hamburger Hill, right across from Steak and Shake.
Which now is Hamburger and Chicken Hill.
That is correct. Thank you very much, Chick-fil-A. Thank you, Father. Okay.
And that other one across the street going to be, so there'll be two chicken places. Never mind. Go ahead.
I'm liking Branson more and more.
We got food, guys. We got
plenty of it.
Today, so, June the 8th, 11 a.m., fasting and prayer, noon to 3. So if you want to drop by, come in. We just found out your tickets will be free today. Is there a cost for that? Yeah. All free, sponsored by Focus on the Family. Sponsored by Focus on the Family. That's good. Tony Perkins will like it, and so will Mr. Daly. Okay, Keith, what's burning question on your mind for these two guys?
Well, how do we change that 6%? You have Focus on the, you mentioned Focus on the Family and Dale Tackett and the Truth Project, you know, and great information. But how do we, the four of us sitting at this round table, and even these other two guys, change that 6%?
Hey, well, JC, let's talk about the Center for Biblical Worldview.
Well, let me make a comment, and then Tim, you can hit that in our community impact teams. I think that helps. Here's what we have in our country. 9% of Americans are what George Barna calls sage cons, spiritually active, governmentally engaged conservatives. Hmm. You cannot win just with them, but you cannot win without them, mm-hmm. which means when your listeners and our pastors and our leaders get informed, get motivated, and engaged, we are the rudder that controls the cruise ship called America. Now, you have 14% in America of almost Sage Cons. So your question is spot on. As we think generationally, as we think moving forward, we think about our children and our grandchildren, what type of work can we specifically do that can reach them to increase that number of the 6% who have a biblical worldview, as well as getting them deeply engaged, because all morality, politics, and power is local. And that can not be demonstrated any better than your city and the values you guys have. As we, I think Tim and I have been in like 10 states in the last 2 months, and you know, it's different everywhere. But part of what our vision is in working with pastors, and why we're here today and meeting with the pastors that Pastor Howard has brought together, is to talk about that very thing, which we will further today. But I think to answer the question further, Tim, it's our community impact teams and our biblical worldview.
If there's a lack of biblical worldview, where should you find it? Well, it should be found in the churches of America. And so we have a model community impact team. It is a model for churches that they can employ to inform, to equip their people, and to mobilize their people to engage in culture. And it's a training that we do, and I do, around the country, where we bring, and the pastor's not leading this, the people are leading this. And what we found around America, there are groups of just people getting together, wanting to save America. And so the community impact team model is there that they can employ and use and deploy in their church to fight this battle and raise a level of awareness for folks regarding a biblical worldview, which leads me to what we launched just last week at Family Research Council, and that is the Center for Biblical Worldview. Mm. We worked very hard. Our team in Washington has worked very hard to create pieces, to create curriculum, to create a perspective. What is a biblical worldview of being involved in politics? What's a biblical worldview of being involved in the pro-life movement? What's the biblical worldview of human sexuality? We have researched, we have produced materials that can be quoted and used and taught and preached in churches all over America. And so the resources are there, and to JC's description of those who are looking and are out there, imagine this, teaching these things in classes, in youth groups, pastors weaving that into their conversation during their sermons and their interaction with their people. It's available, and we want to put it in the hands of every pastor and church in America.
You know, Is it only to pastors?
Oh, no.
Okay, so how do we find it? How do I find it?
Go to FRC.org. Go to FRC.org, and if you'll search the resources or the issues section in the top right-hand corner and go topically into that section, the drop-down will give you the items I just mentioned that folks can access and see and benefit from.
Well, Tim, we also have, to the beginning of the program, responding to the LGBTQ movement from a biblical worldview.
Sure.
One of the things we're doing in our church is we're launching in July, Transforming Our Wednesday Night, and we're going to entitle it Wednesday Night Worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking all of this curriculum and these more difficult subjects. We're not going to apologize for apologetics.
Absolutely.
We're, you know, if we thin the herd in our house, we thin the herd, but we're going to go deep. Deeper is wider. Less is more. And so we need our listeners and people to understand, to your point, if we don't do that generationally, we're heading in a very difficult place we may never recover.
First of all, I've got to be confident in what I know. And when I don't know it, I'm confused, okay? And for instance, when it comes to baseball, you get 3 strikes, 4 balls, umpire makes the call, right, wrong, or indifferent. Those are the rules of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to play it, and the guy can, wait a minute, I want 4 outs. Keith and I have talked about this. Keith wants to do something else. Keith wants to start with the good pitchers first.
Yeah.
Why are we putting them last in the 9th inning? Bring them in the first inning.
And if the team has 9-0 win, take 8 of those points and bank them.
Save them,
yeah.
Okay? So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, sounds good, but wait a minute.
Wow.
It changed the rules. It
yeah,
changes
it
the
sure
integrity
does.
Of baseball.
Yeah.
And in the
yeah.
biblical worldview, the things we're talking about changes that, but I want to know it. Howard, I don't know if you've met the man yet, but I'd like for you to try to put them in touch, and if you can't, put them back with us, with the gentleman trying to purchase the Yellow Ribbon Theater on the museum and the faith walk that they're doing. Keith, would you tell them quickly about that?
Darren Myers. They want to make a faith-based museum and interactive displays, shows on stage at that theater to bring people back to an awareness of our history and where we started all of this.
Yeah, and so we'll get you that information.
Absolutely,
because they're really down the road quite a ways in getting that done.
They are. So,
guys, we've got 6 minutes left, so Keith and I could ask all kinds of questions, but we'd like for you to continue to lead us in this biblical worldview, so that, like I said, I want to have knowledge.
Yeah,
and the knowledge that I want is facts. Okay, I don't want to hear an opinion. Okay, opinions, why I can't listen to CNN, MSNBC. They're giving opinions, not facts.
Yeah, well, we want to be a trusted source, and we are a trusted source. FRC began in 1983. Dobson founded us, but we have turned into a multifaceted organization, policy, speaking biblically to legislative issues, but then reaching out to the pastors of America and the churches of America, providing them, the real-time resources to speak biblically to cultural issues. So if you want to talk on Sunday about something that happened on Wednesday, go to FRC.org. It's almost a real-time news feed for you.
Yeah, yes.
You can dial in on the issues and be biblically structured in your presentation on Sunday. As a pastor for 22 years, the more I spoke biblically to cultural issues, the more the church grew and the more people came and said, thank you for saying something. Because I think there are Americans that are looking for pastors who will speak up, who will stand on biblical truth. I've heard this many times. The world at its worst needs the church at its best.
Yes.
And America needs the church today more than it ever has. And we want to be a hand, a resource. We want to add value to the good work of these great churches here in America.
No, that's good.
They hate us.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, they hated Jesus, and the scripture's pretty clear on
that.
So, you know, our Christianity is not so much revealed in our actions as it is in our reactions. It's how we respond to that in love, which really covers and melts people down. But, you know, we continue, I believe, Charlie, that in this moment in time, I believe what we're seeing across the country, I do believe there's an exposing going on of the true and the false. I do believe there's a thinning of the herd from the hirelings and the prophets. I do believe that the pressure is building, and pressure doesn't kill you, it reveals you.
Mm-hmm.
That what we're seeing, whether it's faith leaders and faith influencers, because as we travel the country, I often say pastors are the problem and the solution at the same time. So we've got to find that Gideon's army, that band of Bonhoeffers, because silence is an endorsement and avoidance is an acceptance. And this is a really critical moment in time that we've got to decide to be intentional in informing and motivating, educating and learning, so that we can try to get this next generation to get back to critical thinking. We're in a moment of indoctrination that it's all optics, emotions and opinions and feelings. And the objective on this biblical worldview is to really bring the resources through the faith leaders and pastors, to let's get back to critical thinking again and wake up. It's an important time.
We talk about Revelation in the 2 or 3 minutes we've got left. We've gone through an unbelievable year and a quarter. My wife and I have dealt with a kind of a compromised immune system, and so she, I think, said she went to Walmart for the first time in about a year or so and went in yesterday. It's all changed. It's, things are different. And I said, now we know why we have our groceries picked up, Keith, after doing that.
Sure.
Fauci.
Fauci.
Oh, wait a minute. Emails. Man, I've told people before, if you're going to say something bad about me or somebody else, don't put in a text, because then you say, look what he said. And so we're seeing exposure there with Fauci and what's going on there. Bill Gates, all the money in the world, right? Well, now we go through a terrible divorce, and now things start to come out in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Horrible things, even at Liberty University, things that have happened. Things that seem to rock us, but we do have a rock. Who wants to take that, Pastor?
Oh, my, yes. We have an unchangeable rock. Our foundation isn't here. I'm thankful for our government structure. I'm thankful for our history. But my hope isn't in this world. It's in the world to come. I believe, just as Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, he's confident in this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we've got God to guide us, to equip us, and there's a world that needs us. As I said, the world at its worst needs a church at its best, and God has entrusted to us the stewardship of this moment to be the men and women of God that shape the culture.
JC, our Christian counselor, sits in your chair once a month, and we said, man, like it used to be. And he said, like it used to be. We went back to Jesus' time. What do you mean? Tried to kill him. We go back to the Old Testament. We go back to the 50s, the 40s. You know what? We're where we're at today. We can't change yesterday. Tomorrow's not here yet, but we have today.
Absolutely.
Closing comments, JC.
Well, the message is sacred, the method is not. These are different days, different times. And rather than look at the man of God, we've got to get our focus on the God of the man. Romans 15:13 says this, and I love this, and hopefully your listeners, it will just get tattooed in their heart today. And the God of hope fill you with peace, joy, and abounding hope. And abounding means waves of hope coming over you.
Give me that verse again.
Romans 15:13.
Romans 15:13.
The God of hope. He describes himself as hope. Okay. He's a hope dealer. We got dope dealers. We need hope dealers today. And let's build on that rock,
and
Charlie.
And Keith, I can get that tattoo. Mom would let me have that. She said, put it on your heart because nobody else will see it, right?
Yeah. That's good.
Gentlemen, yeah, it's been great. Hey, can we stay in touch by phone sometime?
Sure can.
We've got a conference line. We'll call you and we'll set it up. Keep us updated maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time what's going on. Because we like to take what we don't know, give it to you all, and you can tell us what we should know.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Keith.
Are you really drinking that $4 or $5 coffee?
Yes, and he bought it.
Oh my! Get yourself a Keurig or something and carry it with you.
Family Research Council, go to their website, check it out. You can find all of that on KLFCradio.com's website later today.
If General Boykin's the head of the crew, do you think if he says let's go, do you think we'll follow him?
Oh, absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Howard, thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
God bless you.
Thank
Howard
you, Boyd,
guys.
Thank you for
Thanks,
bringing
guys.
These guys to the table. We appreciate it. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow a little after 7 o'clock. Love to invite you to join us for another edition of Good Morning Ozarks. Put all your trust in Jesus. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
See you.